Welcome back to Between Takes with Opal Entertainment. I'm Aiden Driscoll.
And I'm Olivia O'Neill.
And today, we are joined by our very dear friend...
Harmon.
Harmon's going to share with us about her songwriting process, her favorite parts of music, and her early career as a filmmaker.
She'll be sharing with us a few of her favorite musicians and albums, as well as artists who inspire her.
We'll also relate our small-town Midwest upbringing and trying to break out in Nashville. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode of Between Takes. Welcome to the show, Harmon.
Thank you.
I say Harmon because there's two H's, and so it implies. No, but I'll call you Harmon for the rest of the show. Could you angle your mic upward just a little
upward,
bit more?
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
All right, let's start over. Welcome to the show, Harmon.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I liked it when you said my name with like a German accent.
Thanks.
You should.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that should just be how you... just market yourself from now on.
Harmon.
Yeah. Are you by any chance related to Dan Harmon?
I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope I'm related to every Harmon that there is.
That'd be nice.
There's a lot of them.
I'd make things convenient for like family reunions or whatever.
Yes.
Well, we met you. It's been like 2 months now or something that we met you.
Roughly. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We met you at an open mic, grand old time. We weren't able to stay for you were part of the writer's round. We weren't able to stay for that. But on the way home, we like binge listened to everyone that we met that night. We had a bunch of artists that night.
Okay.
And listened to a bunch of your stuff. And then we roped you into a secret project, which we haven't officially announced yet. but you will be hearing more from Harmon in the coming months. But yeah, you just want to start with just like telling people who you are, a brief... two sentence or eight sentence or however short or long you want to say to introduce who you are.
Yes, I am Harmon. That is my last name. I don't know if I'm making like my first name a secret. You can find it. It's not hard to find. Like you can probably do like a reverse search and figure that out yourself. But yeah, I was born and raised in Michigan and now I live here and I make music and I do a lot of other stuff, but that is my primary creative output at this point, and I love it. I love singing and writing, and yeah, just kind of doing everything I can now. So cool.
You originally came here not for music, though, right?
Yes.
You will talk a little bit about earlier drafts of your primary outlet.
Ooh, yeah, the early drafts of me. I left high school in 2017. I graduated. I didn't like. I wasn't kicked out. I promise. I was on good academic standing, but I went to school in a really small town, and everyone else was staying in state for school, and I was like, I'm going to be super cool and leave the state and go to school in a big city and show everyone who's boss, and also I just wanted to like get out of my small town. So I went to Belmont I was in like the motion pictures program. I wanted to be a screenwriter, and like all throughout high school, I wrote a lot of like short films and would force my friends to act in them when a lot of times they really didn't want to, or like my sisters, or do like dumb music videos and stuff. And I wrote a movie actually when I was in my senior year, and it will never, never, ever be shown to anyone. It's so bad.
It was just one draft though, right?
Yes.
So we could probably go back and punch it up. Maybe.
I mean, it might be a little bit beyond repair. It's also like 300 pages long, which is at least like a 4-hour movie.
That's a hefty feature for sure.
Yeah. How long did it take you to write? Was it just your senior year or had you been working on it?
Yeah, just my senior year.
Okay.
I saw La La Land and I was like,
yeah,
I need to do something. And so like, I think I saw that New Year's Eve, and then on New Year's I was like, I'm going to write a movie. And I didn't like pay attention to any of my homework. I spent all of my brain power writing it, and I finished it on my birthday, which is in March. So it took me about 3 months.
Okay.
But I did nothing else. Like I'd go home and write for like 5 hours and like eat pasta ferociously and just finish it. Anyway, yeah. So, and then I came to Belmont and I was like, maybe I'll just like stumble into a music career since this is where people do that. You don't really know how to do that. So I didn't pursue music then, but I would write songs like secretly in my bedroom with my roommate who was a singer. Mm. She was like, these are really good songs. I was like, okay, well, I feel validated. So I think I'm going to continue doing this. And that was like, it's been a very slow snowball to actually releasing stuff that I've written.
Do you still write scripts of any sort these days?
Ooh, I would definitely be down to, I think, like, I'm just enjoying the medium of music so much mm-hmm. that it's like, I want to keep the ball rolling. And I think, honestly, I'm better at writing songs than screenplays. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like movies, but singing comes more naturally to me. And it's like, even if the writing isn't good, I can, like, play it up with my yeah. voice and make it kind of beautiful. And with a screenplay, you have to be really, really careful about right. how you do everything.
Yeah. It's easier to do music with a smaller crew. There's mm-hmm. So many moving parts.
I was just going to say, movies, I feel like you need, well, you don't need, but it could be helpful to have, right. like, this person yes. who's really good at, like,
right.
big vision, and then someone comes in and, like, right. okay, this is the there's lines we need to keep.
There's just so mm-hmm. many components.
I don't know.
That go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that I've had friends, I have one friend in particular who's told me repeatedly, like, you should go to school and become a director, or even just, mm-hmm. like, become a director now. And that's nice, and I appreciate the compliment, but I just think, like, my, if I, yeah, it's just so, I would want to, I'm starting a lot of different sentences, and that's my larger point, is I so want to have a foot in every single door oh, yeah. that I feel like I just would not ever get anything off the ground. And even with music, I mean, music can be just as, I don't know about just as big as a movie. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, it has potential to, sure, yeah. But I mean, like, it's not the same as, you know, a lot of certain movies, even smaller movies, can have 200 people working on it mm-hmm. and takes 3 years and it has a budget of $22 million or whatever. And an album maybe can be the same. But even with music, where in the fairly small scale, I feel like I have not too many cooks in the kitchen, but I am mm-hmm. one cook trying to be in too many kitchens. And so, yeah, I like it sometimes. I played with you just like last week, mm-hmm. and that was really nice to just play guitar. And you taught me the parts, and I was like, rock on. I'll mm-hmm. just sit back, let you sing the songs, and that was a fun exercise.
And there were a lot of parts. Did they always make sense? That is not the question.
They made sense when you listen to them. That's the thing. I don't, like, people listen to Harmon's music, and I guarantee people will not be thrown by, like, well, this is a weird thing, since she's being inconsistent with chord progressions or whatever. But it's when you sit down and try and learn uh-huh. a guitar part, then it's like, what is she doing here? I don't understand. But then you talked yeah. it through, and then it made more sense.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a cool, like, collaborative process, too. It was. Like, mm-hmm. working with different types, like, people and mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
The way I would, like, do things when we're writing is a lot of time. I'm getting a little bit more, like, familiar with go to the five or go to the whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But definitely go, like, okay, Aiden, make it sound really like you're in a field.
Yeah.
Looking at some tree, yeah. like, or whatever.
Field chord.
Okay, now you're, like, yeah. by the ocean.
Yeah. I remember that very first time that happened, and you just kept going back to, like, it's like you're in a field, and you're, like, watching the wind go by and blow the dandelion seeds.
And then you would, like, start something, like, and be like, no.
No, not that. I said field, Aiden. I said field. And,
isn't
yeah.
that funny how, like, yeah. But it worked. I mean, we ended up.
We wrote the song.
Yeah, which one was that?
That was Leave Your Things. What would become. Originally, it was going to be.
It's not released.
It was. Yeah, oh, it's not okay. released yet. It's now the bridge of Leave Your Things. It was originally going to be the chorus of another mm-hmm. song. But yeah. That was a fun one to write, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones. That was that. I mean, anyway, that's a different story. We'll get to that later on.
I'm very familiar with the Third Avenue album, but. Mm. Not much else, because that's the one that's in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that really, I mean, we have that and then a couple Christmas stuff, mm-hmm. but that's all we have out right yeah. now.
Yeah, and that was all, it's interesting, I feel like we've just, pretty much all of Third Ave was written in the same manner. It was all written over the course of like a month and a half or something.
Oh, wow.
So, for the most part, we had things started earlier on, but like when we actually were like, okay, we have an idea for an album, we had it finished within a month or mm-hmm. two, I think.
Okay. Wow.
So it was very much like in the same mindset and very similar, like, processes we're following, whereas the new album has been written over the course of the last like 2 years.
And some of it's like, oh, I have this song that I started 4 years ago
right.
that I want to bring to the table. Right. So it's gotcha. It's just
so it's
a very
much
different,
more like different mindsets or whatever.
I think it would probably also be just like Third Ave was really written like together. Like
right.
we were, you know, where right. this album, there's a few songs that Aiden wrote mm-hmm. all, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I wrote like one or two or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
But
thanks for,
yeah. So anyway.
Do you have any more questions you want to ask us as the interviewee?
This is
no, I kid.
This is both ways. Yeah, yeah. I do have. I don't know if I should save it or get it out of the way now, but this is my big question. I wrote down a list of questions.
Oh, okay.
I have them in my mind, so I got some more up my sleeve.
Okay.
But I don't think I asked. I don't know if. Well, you've probably talked about this, but how did you guys come up with your name, and what is the meaning?
See, Opal? Yeah, we should be asking you questions. No, it's not a secret. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. It's on. We were part of a creative writing class, mm-hmm. and my sister-in-law, we were part of like the same like small homeschool community back home, and my sister-in-law was part of that as well. This is a while back, and she wrote a story about this woman named Opal, and Opal was part of this town where people were like, they were like two feuding families or whatever, mm-hmm. but the feud had started like so many generations back that no one remembered what the initial problem was. So it's just kind of like my great, great, great granddad hated your great, great, great granddad or whatever.
Kind of like, yeah.
Right. Just one of those stupid, petty mm-hmm. feuds. And so Opal was super fed up with it one day. So she was like, all right, we're going to have a giant music festival. And whoever we decide plays the better music gets to stay in town and the other people have to hightail it out of here. Mm-hmm. And they start the festival and they start playing music and then they start just jamming out and they slowly realize like they forgot whose side they're on and what the problem was. And then it's just kind of when it's like music brings us together and the community and all that. And so yeah, just the name Opal kind of stuck, came from that. And then we added entertainment to, mm-hmm. I don't know, Opal sounded a little too artsy, which or entertainment
like maybe
also.
It would just be like, since I'm the girl, like maybe it's like Opal's,
sure, yeah,
like a you know, or artist. Something. We wanted to be like a, and we have like, we hopes and dreams of like having bigger band and things. So right. It's like Opal Entertainment.
It's like a larger corporation. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. But going back to you, yes, we can bounce back and forth as we go. What's been, because you came to Nashville in 2017, but you've also mm-hmm. gone away and come back a few times since then. Oh, yes. What is it about Nashville that you keep coming back, and like what are the things in Nashville that you like that you're like learning from and all that?
That's so weird. Like no one has ever asked me that except for in the past like 2 weeks, I've had three or four people ask me that same question. I don't know if this is something I really need to be considering, but
no pressure.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. Well, I guess practically. I guess maybe all different times had their different motivations, but I didn't really know where else to go. I could have gone home, but there wasn't a lot to do. I feel like I'd kind of exhausted all the options, of which there weren't. I hope that no one who lives there is listening to this, but personally, I didn't know where to play music. And I was like, well, Nashville was exciting and big, but I always thought, like, it is too ambitious, like, only serious people can live there, or people who know what they're doing. And I had never, like, moved out before or anything, so I had no idea how to get a job, but I did eventually, and I got employment and stuff. But now I feel like, over the past couple of years, I just have, like, a really good church community and, like, love the people that mm-hmm. I know here, and they're very kind, and, yeah, it's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's kind of, I think, where we're at, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's I think the main thing that we've realized is back home, people, you know, were very supportive of us doing music, but kind of the same thing of, like, there's only so much you can do here mm-hmm. right now. And so
it's kind of, like,
it's
silly to, like, pursue. Or not silly, but, like,
you're but like, if you're just gonna stay there and pursue it, it's kind of like you will
need something else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you'll max it out pretty quick, and you won't be able to do it full time for sure. And so it's been nice moving here, where you just say, you know, I mean, everyone's a musician in some way mm-hmm. or another, it seems. So it's you say, oh, I'm a musician. It's not this weird like, wait, what? I don't know. Did you ever get that when you were like, yeah. I mean, I guess you weren't like pursuing music at the time, uh-huh. but did you have things like that with your types of projects where you're like, oh, I'm working on these things and I want to go this direction with my life and people would meet you with not like judgmental, you're yes. a bad person, but just kind of like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to respond to that.
I do when I go back home, and sometimes it can be like that. It's either like, I tell people I live in Nashville and they're like, and I play guitar and they're like, whoa, I didn't know we had a celebrity in the house. Like, everyone does it. Like, it's not super special. Or the, like, I don't really know anything about that world. So it's like, oh, yeah. Do you like that? I really do. Yes, I do. So it's a little bit of a weird balance. But also there's something to say about, like, in terms of being gone from home, like, I was drawn to, like, the anonymity of Nashville, mm-hmm. where it's, like, if I were to try to, like, adopt a new name or, like, a stage name mm-hmm. back home, people would be, like, girl, what are you doing?
Know who
like,
you
I
are.
Went to middle school with you and you're a fool. Why? So,
That's funny.
It's like a new, like a reinvention. No one knows you. You can try out stuff, and they can be objective if it's good or not, and not just be like, oh,
right,
it's cool that you write songs. Because if you write songs where no one writes songs, people are, I mean, that's a different reaction, I would
think. Right. Did you, your album came out this year or last year?
This year.
This year.
Valentine's Day.
Okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, it's July. I'll just remind you. Yeah. In, I believe it's Iceland, Valentine's Day is called Jeestinvampavia, I think. And it's basically, that's when they do like Friendsgiving. It's basically the same thing where it's like, it's rather about like romantic love. It's about like friends getting together and hanging out or whatever. That's all. Quick little Valentine's trivia I have for you. Shoot, what was the question? Were you, when did you decide like Harmon is going to be your stage name? Were you performing a bunch before then and you made the decision? Or was it one of those like you were, the album was finished and you're like, I should probably figure out what to release this as? That's kind of where we were at when we were working on our album.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, well, okay, I'll answer, but I'm wondering what the other runners were. It was like Aiden and Liv, Entertainment.
We had a bunch of different ones.
I think, well, I did try out a few stage names before, actually, that are very embarrassing. But
like Big Thunder and things like that.
Yeah, don't go to any downtown bars asking for Big Thunder. I also released something under Haley Harmon, and I didn't really like it, but then, so I was like, I must distance myself. So then I released it under Harmon, and, you know, two H's, it's my two names, but I think, I mean, I'm with, like, TuneCore and the distribution, I can't get the other music taken down, so I was like, oh, that's what I'll do, I'll just take it down, and this will be me. But now that's the only account that's verified, and the one that I released the album under isn't even verified. So.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I mean, I've got two.
You can't go in and, like, delete it?
No, really? It's weird.
This is TuneCore?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they don't have, not to bash TuneCore, but they don't have a like a phone line to call. So I feel like I'll probably just have to take like a road trip to NYC and knock on the door and be like, hello, you don't know me, but I know you.
I have some questions for you guys. That's a bummer.
But I'm, if I'm ever in town, I'll totally hit them up.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
I really like, we use DistroKid, and for a while it was like three people running it. I would imagine it's not. I mean, it's blown up a ton in the past couple of years. But at one point when I was first looking into it, it was like three people. And it was super. I mean, it was like I had some question for someone. And like the next day, it was like the CEO himself was replying. He was like, hey, I saw you had a question about this. Here's, you know, my best advice or whatever.
Sent for my iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. It was that kind of, here's my phone number. Let me know. We can, you want to be friends on Facebook? But I think you, I guess we haven't ever wanted to delete anything from our, but I think you can. That's just quick little, sponsored by DistroKid. Not actually, but anyway. This is fun. Cool. Away from TuneCore now. do you, going back just a little bit, because we come from like a theater background and things, that sounds so pretentious to say. We come from a theater background. We performed in the Thespian Arts. We definitely, we grew up doing plays, and then from that became like all basically like, how do we tell stories and create things in as many different mediums as we can? And we have so many different friends that are trying so many different areas and things. So I'm saying all that to say, like, we definitely have this desire to, like, in the future, like Liv was saying a minute ago, like, we want to expand the band, but we also want to continue exploring all those different mediums. Do you see yourself, I mean, I kind of asked that just now, like, what you're doing right now, but do you see yourself in the future writing a full-on, you know, whatever? Do you want to write a play and you write the music to it, or someone else writes a play and you write the music to it, or do you want to get more involved in you do the score to a movie?
Oh, yeah, that'd be so fun. I would love to... I think maybe if I have a little bit more technical prowess, I could do like a soundtrack kind of deal for someone else. But yeah, I mean, I feel like if there's ever like another lockdown or something and I have just so much time on my hands, I'm going to write. Yeah, that would be I can't really prioritize like screenwriting or like script things just because I'm like, I need to write as many songs as I can. But yeah, I would love to like do a musical, or because I also come from a theater background, so I Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I think that'd be really exciting.
Yeah. Do you, let me back up. You said you don't ever want your movie to see the light of day.
Yes.
Can you give us, show a little bit of the light of the day to part of it? Yes. What was it about? What was the premise of it?
Well, maybe the context will make you understand why no one should ever see it.
Okay. So. Well, La La Land, I mean, it was inspired by La La Land, so.
Yeah.
It can only be so bad, right?
It mainly inspired me to, like, because I think I was under the impression that to be a film person, you had to write a movie. And it was, like, the only thing I wanted to do. Because I don't even know. I think, like, the main thread in all of my creative projects are that I just like making a product and, like, having a physical, like, here's a physical album or, like, a script that I've written and just kind of, like, producing something.
Sure. Mm.
So I wrote it. I have no idea where I got this idea from, but so it was a superhero film about like a bunch of teenagers who were superheroes and one of them possessed,
you are squirming.
I hate it. I wrote it when I was 16. She possessed the superpowers of a unicorn.
Which we all know off the top of our head.
Obviously, unicorns have the ability to change colors with their minds. Is that a useful power?
Colors of themselves or color of other things?
Anything.
Okay.
So that was her superpower, and she was like kidnapped and like grew up in a lab by like a scientist that was like, we're going to make like a superhuman. And then escapes and then lives a normal life as a teen girl in this day and age who also like has a unicorn horn. So you can imagine the kind of problems that would come along with that.
Quite a lot of hijinks ensue. I'm
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. We can make that happen. Maybe you just like, maybe you write a song and that can be the music video. Is the basics of this story.
4-hour music video. Yeah. I think we should do the whole thing. That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's like the whole movie and then the end is the song. Like,
yeah.
You know, music videos will have like 2 minutes of dialogue, which I don't like normally.
Yeah.
Even as a film person, get to the song.
Yeah.
So I think we should just fake everyone out and make them watch the whole movie.
Yeah. And then at the very end, it's like, pre-save the song now or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
So you said just a minute ago about like writing a whole bunch. Do you feel like, is that your main thing? Is like, I just want to write songs every day? Or do you feel like I want to write this number of songs for this type of project? Or do you think like have an idea for a project and write things for that?
I am writing for, I usually like, I was explaining to some this to someone the other day. Like I write something and then I categorize it. Mm-hmm. Was I talking to
you? You mentioned something about, about like I have this song and that kind of goes in that category.
Yeah, you.
Some nerd. Couldn't get a guitar part, right?
Like I'll write something and then I'll categorize it into, I do a weird thing where I need to like, I don't know, everything is like super contrasted in my mind. So I'll write something and I'm like, this is for this album and this is for this album. So I'll write like a rock song and that's for this album. And then I'll write a folk song and this is for this. And they're very distinct. So I'm writing for kind of both of those, but I know which one I'm going to release sooner. And that one is like, I'm writing as much as I can for that. And I think I'm going to like get all those songs together and then present them to other people I want to play with and be like, which ones do you like and think that we can make sound like music and like that go together and then kind of have it be like a seamless album.
Cool.
So that's what I'm doing now.
That's fun. Yeah. I feel like I wish I could write more often. I haven't written anything new in months. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I keep telling myself, I'm very much of like the mind, just do things consistently, just constantly be trying new stuff out because it's like, it's at least you'll be like exercising the muscle of doing that.
Yeah.
But then I also very much am like, let's just obsess over these two songs and rehearse these for 3 weeks. So.
Or we just segregate in our head like writing time for writing and then we just do that time for live shows just do that
like couple months
I feel like that's kind of how or then we record and then we do I think our hope is like when we start recording or we've also just started a lot of new projects like podcasts Patreon whatever
the secret one that we haven't announced
the
yet
secret one. meeting people so it just takes like time I think But I think what we've talked about, like when we record this next album, we want to be like still playing shows and not like seclude into.
I feel like we're also kind of going in like reverse trajectory that a lot of bands go in a way where they, the first few albums are kind of just like, we're trying stuff out. It's a fun, you know, a bunch of fun love songs and heartbreak songs or whatever. And then like their third or fourth album is like, now we're actually into like the meat of who we are and like expressing here are, you know, most like core principles that we live by or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Third Ave was very much, here's kind of a fictionalized retelling of this like specific era in our life. And then this next album are kind of the more, here are the core principles we live by. And that for me, it's kind of like, what else? I feel like I've said what I have to say about these things. So like, I'm sure we'll figure it out, but I wouldn't be too surprised if our third album was all the fun love songs that were just like, we're just having fun now. You heard all the really heavy, intense stuff. That's about, here's how you should live your life and all that.
What is your favorite part of releasing an album, like writing, recording, mixing, playing?
Because you basically did the last album by yourself, right?
Yes. Yeah. The only thing that wasn't technically by myself was like the artistic aspect, like the visual, which was, I love creating like a brand or like making everything really unified.
Yeah. Super which exciting. Is really interesting because... the branding, it's just they contrast each other super interestingly. Uh-huh. Like I look at the album cover, and I almost think like this could be like a 90s punk rock album.
Then
I listen to it and I'm like, oh, that's super different. And then I look at like your Instagram and it's very consistent. It's very much like I see like, oh yeah, they're not like out of place with each other. It looks like it's very branded and well kept. But like anyway, keep going.
Upon first view, it may seem, like there'll be some headbanging.
I think because your hair is swinging around and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. In my mind, it makes sense. I'm like, oh, yeah.
It does after listening to the album. And you're like, oh, yeah, that correlates.
It's more of like a contemplative headbang. You know, like a slow nod.
Sure, that makes sense.
Or like... I think with specifically because all of that was in my mind when I was like recording it, and I felt crazy because even like a lot of people in Nashville did not know that I did music at all, except for my best friend and strangers that I would sometimes play for at open mics. Like most people did not know that I did music at all. And so I was like recording this thing in a friend's garage, and then I would like work at daycare and during nap time, like edit my songs on my computer. I was like, I feel insane, and like maybe I am the like, is this actually real? Because it doesn't feel like there's anyone else who's like, oh, yeah, this is a thing that's happening. So to do all that myself and then have, like, someone else be brought on and be like, here are the songs, here's the vision. She's like, yes, got it, okay, we're going to do this. And, like, have it all come together. It's like, okay, this is real, and it's actually, like, kind of cohesive. Yeah.
So was that your favorite part? Was just singing it all come together?
Yeah, for sure. And like, I like making my own CD cases and like decorating. It's just like a little gift.
There's something so real about like, even just when you're still in like when you like finally finish a draft of like the mix of the entire album and you just like listen through the entire thing and it's like, wow, these are like actual things. It's not just random files that exist on my computer anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah.
It is hard to like say, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say is your biggest like stumbling block in any stage of this?
It's so hard. Like, I think, well, first off, I'll say myself, but there are a lot of different ways that happens. So, I mean, first, like, it's hard for me to know if a song is good because. I'll write something and then I'll show it to someone else and they'll be like, oh, this is good. And I'm like, yes, it is so good. I just wrote this. I'm in love with it. And then like clockwork, like a year later, I'm like, what was I thinking? But I know that person still likes it. So it's like, has my mind changed or like, what is the truth? I don't know if this is good or not because I don't like it. But if other people like it, when I show it to them and they're like selling out, or am I doing them a service because
the
they like it?
I don't know. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, okay.
And just to interrupt that slightly, because that's the thing, as a music listener, do you have those songs where you listen to and at first you're like, I love this, then a year later you go back and you're like, that's not really my thing?
Yeah, I'd say so.
But is your reaction ever like, what was I thinking? I can't believe I listened to this. No. Right.
Not usually.
So, I mean, I think that it's different when you were there for every step of the process of writing the song. You know, yeah. I think you have just a much more in-depth analysis, and you can also probably go back and go like, oh, because I ate this for breakfast the day when I was writing that and I was thinking this and I had this argument with so-and-so or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, anyway, there are just things because you're so close to it. It's super easy for me, at least, to associate all these other things with the song that are not at all connected to the song itself, but I've just by association
or like, drawn it in. Think of like if you like journal or something and you talk about like, this is what I'm thinking about. It's a really big deal. Or even like kids. Right. And it's like, that's like a huge deal for them, whatever they're going through. And you're like, it's not that big a, like, pick the color or whatever.
You'll figure it out. Yeah.
But it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was real in that time. So I think even if I'm like, oh, I like that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I wrote that, but it feels like genuine and like good that it's out there because that was something I went through at some point and maybe someone else would also go through or, you know, or something.
Yeah.
I get the negative association aspect of it too, because it's like, if you've ever I think this might be a universal human experience, but if you have like an album that you listen to during a really rough time, when you hear it again, it's like a gut punch, even though it's so good and you're like with a friend in the car and you're like, nope, we have to skip this song. Yeah. Like, so I think that's a big one. Like that's actually going and releasing it and being like, do I like this? I don't know if anyone else will like it. And like finishing stuff, because sometimes that'll stop me. If I'm writing it and I'm like, this is good, but I'm not in love with it, then I'll be like, next. So there are a ton of unfinished things.
Yeah.
So I think that's where collaborating is really good, because people can kind of be objective and be like, nope, let's continue working on this.
Right. And then kind of take the first verse and go like, no, you're on a cool path with this, and then give you some new ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, when you're working on a song so long, it starts to become like, okay.
Yeah. And that's very much how, when you're writing a song, do you start with like, you have an idea and go, here's where I want the song to end up and go? Or do you start, we just like start saying stuff and writing stuff and then figure it out as you go? Or do you like finish the song and it's like, maybe it'll be totally resolved, or maybe it'll just leave the listeners being, you know, contemplative or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely never organized. I don't usually, unless it's something super dramatic or like, I don't ever think most of the time, oh, I'm going to write a song about this thing, because usually that just gets me in my head too much and I'm like, all right, let's journal about it, let's pick out the words, let's make it rhyme and that kind of thing. But I mean, in terms of like writing process, I think, like, I don't know, it's weird. I can write a song that is good technically and tells a story, but I think in order for me to like it and want to keep it going and to feel like it's kind of like a cathartic exercise, I have to include some personal detail, even if no one else knows what it means or it's something really insignificant.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is my craft, like I actually really like this. It's just like a random interaction with a person. That's usually where I try to go with songs, is picking things from life or like a conversation that I had or like a physical location. That's like what kind of keeps me going, because I can picture it in my mind. If I'm like, I'm gonna write a song about love, I have to think of a place or like a setting or where I'm sitting and what it smells like and who's with me and then like draw from there. It's hard to just write words.
So you start with like the essence of the thing itself and then think, what are things that happen within my life that I can relate that to?
I think so. Yeah.
Rather than like, here's this event that happened in my life, I want to write about that.
Oh yeah.
It's more within that event, I experienced this thing and I want to write about that thing. So I'll use this event to exemplify that.
Yeah, and a lot of times I don't know what I'm writing about until it's halfway done. It's like, oh, that's what was hidden under all the stuff. So it's, like if there's a chord I like, I'll listen to it over and over again and then write down like where it would be if I'm listening to it, or what it kind of, it's like, oh, this is a driving in the car song, or like this is a sitting in bed song. And that kind of like guides the narrative a little bit.
That's cool.
That's interesting. I definitely start out with like a whole outline of like, I want to write a song about this thing, and normally recently it's been very much like I'll get a line or two and go like, sure, okay, and then I don't get very far. But most it's just, it's interesting, because,
or it's about like a character,
right? They're normally very like story driven, so it's easy to be like, hey, let's write a song about this character who does this thing, like Liv brought this song Before October Ends and had like what became the chorus and I think part of the verse, some lyrics for that. And I was like, it's a story about these two characters who meet on a train and then like part ways. And it's about them like having this connection with each other, even though they only met for a little bit on the train. And from there, I mean, that one took us like a year to write or something, but I think we like got a song from that because we definitely had this very unified vision of what it was. And I think it's different when you're writing with people.
Yeah,
because you kind of, you have to externalize your thoughts so much quicker. You have to like articulate what's going on earlier on in the process than if you're writing by yourself and you try and get a bunch of stuff. And then as you bring it to someone, you say that out loud. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
A lot of times I see like just a still shot of something. And that's what I like the train thing. I see like these two people like on an old fashioned or whatever, like I could probably draw it or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's like what I'm thinking of when we're writing.
Right.
Which is kind of, I don't know. I didn't realize I did that until recently.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think of.
How often do you guys write songs about your personal experience?
Once.
Oh, wow. Really?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think kind of like you, there are elements of our lives that are brought into songs.
Well, I think of like, we talk about what we value in like companions and like the harm of solitude, which is like we've seen either in other people or have experienced ourselves. So we don't necessarily like talk about it in the first person of like this is what I, or whatever. But I think, would you agree?
Yeah. Like, and I think it's kind of like what you're saying about your stuff is we kind of, yeah, it's things where we know, like, oh, these are the things we've experienced in our lives, but we're kind of putting them through a fictional lens of, like, oh, yeah, like Liv said about here, you know, we know these people who just seclude themselves so often, and we see that, like, you know, like, get out a little bit. Like, trust that we're nice to you. Trust that we like you and we want to hang out with you. And that's, like, some of our songs are about those kinds of things. But it's not like, hey, here's a song we wrote for our friend who, you know, hid in his room for a year or whatever. It's just more like... we're taking that, like, taking those experiences and like creating a new character kind of thing, and not even like, oh, he's a, you know, representative of this other character or whatever.
I would say like Third Ave is a lot about like kids growing up and moving and like the.
And in a way, it was about our lives because you had just graduated high school. I had graduated the year before, and like a lot of we're kind of on the younger side of a lot of our friends. So a lot of our friends had already like gone to college and things. And so it was, kind of about growing up, moving on, parting ways. And so it was very like part of what we were going through, but again, I think through a fictional lens.
But then we had this song called Gracie, and that was about, about a friend I had when I was like five. We met in kindergarten, and it was when I lived somewhere for like 3 years, so like kindergarten through second grade, and then we left. So I hadn't revisited that friendship for a really long time, but it just felt like she was one of the. It just felt to fit, like it fit the mood.
She was like your first friend outside of your family,
and like taught me to like imagine, and like she's very like. I wasn't like a.
You described her as she was the Anne Shirley and you were the Diana.
Right, like that type of thing. Like I went along, like I was excited, but I didn't initiate. Like I was kind of a quiet, like more. Reserve kid or whatever. So
you quiet and reserve. I kid.
So I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Like we didn't. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. So we started with that of like, here's this. Let's write about that friendship. But then kind of imagine what if you were friends all the way through high school and then you graduated and you went to different colleges and like where does that go or whatever, and that's kind of where that ended up going.
And wrote letters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty good album. I like that. The other day I listened to it. I don't want to sound too conceited, but I listened through it.
Yeah.
Two things I noticed. One was, I do so many things differently. And not out of like, oh, I can't believe we did that. But just like, oh, I recognize how I could have done that slightly better or new things I would have tried. And it makes me feel like, oh, cool. We've grown. We've gotten better. But the other thing was like, excuse me. I'm just getting so emotional talking about past projects. That's a pretty fun album. I enjoy it. I enjoy listening to it. That's fun. I don't love listening. I'm not going to put it on repeat. But like when I listened through it, I was like,
cool. It's like you kind of said of like having your work out there, like in a CD. It's like, oh, that's like cool, like I accomplished.
And there's something about like searching Opal Entertainment on Spotify and like seeing your album cover pop up, and you're like, we did it.
Yes, it's so interesting. This doesn't have to do with any of that, but I like this is a game I play that I am not often winning, but I like to try to figure out like based on someone's voice talking if they'd be a good singer, but you guys talk exactly like you sing.
Really?
So like listening to your album, your voices talking sound exactly like your singing voices.
That's kind of interesting. That is interesting.
Which is good.
Yeah, well, I think our songs are pretty wordy too. So it might just be like melody driven speech. Like,
I've described some of our stuff as being like folksy rap. It's not quite like spitting bars, but it is very much like saying the words without a rest and not having any breaths at all.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool that you, that's a cool
That's cool. Thank you.
I like that.
That's interesting. I noticed that before. I've heard people sing and then hear them talk and I'm like, what? That voice does not sound like it should come from that voice. But it's interesting.
Especially people that have like really low voices or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Like I hear Adele talk. I just hear her speaking voice sounds so like, like breathy and just kind of like, I'm talking about this thing and sharing my thoughts. And then I hear her singing. It's like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get those pipes? So kind of some broader questions. Let's just back out a little bit. Who are, like, was there a, I think you asked us this question a while back. Was there a single artist or album or song that made you go, like, I want to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Specifically, yes, absolutely. So something I was thinking about. It's not even, like, I don't know if it's kind of an album technically, but I think, so, like, randomly when I was 16, I'd gone to camp with like this girl who's obsessed with Lana Del Rey. And I was like, she's so dramatic and annoying. I don't like her. But then like my parents got divorced and I was really sad. Aww. And so I found like, and so my friend would like send me all of her like unreleased music because she has a huge body of work where she has like all these
albums. Lana Del Rey's on those? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, it's like she has, if you look her up on YouTube, she has like 300 unreleased songs and all these demos.
Really?
And yeah, it's crazy. Oh, there are all these different styles. And I got, there was this album and she went under like different stage names and there's an album called Sirens. And she went under the name May Jailer and she kind of like pretended to be Southern and like put on an accent, but it was all super folkish and like she only knew like three chords on the guitar and just like ding, 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 really simple picking patterns. And I listened to it like every single day for an entire summer. And I was like, you can just do that. Like this quality is not great, but these songs mean so much and they're gorgeous. And like, I didn't really know that you could just make music. I thought you had to go and meet someone important, but it's like, she just made this. And I was like, whoa, maybe.
And this was like in the midst of her career that she was doing this, or was this like early on when she was still trying stuff out?
Yeah. I think it might've been her first thing that she released.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that in particular, like, I like her, some of her stuff now, but that kind of, like, innocence in that album is so beautiful because I really like music that was made by people who are real people and have, like, a lot of lived experience. And I think at that time she was, like, a waitress and she was living somewhere else and just kind of, like, getting her foot in the door.
Right.
And I think that comes out in songs a lot if you've actually lived through stuff versus you're just, like, you're like consulting people who've had like who've I don't know like had dead end jobs and you're actually like a really rich famous person. You know, there's definitely like you can tell a difference.
Right.
Yeah. So. It is kind of inspiring too to see someone go from like three chord songs to like becoming well known. It's like, oh, I can do that type of thing. Yeah. Because sometimes you just look at the people and it's like, man.
Right.
Like, what's the point of me making this?
Right.
No one's going to hear, you know, or whatever. But that shouldn't stop you from doing stuff.
And, like, now everyone is kind of self-producing, so you can see the,
the
bones.
We're in, like, a new age of that, for sure.
And, like, I mean, but if you take people who have become famous, like, the first song you ever hear is something that's great. And, like, the first thing that got on radio and had a producer on it, you didn't hear, like, the really clunky kind of first steps.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
And in a way, I kind of think that's, in a way that makes more sense to do it more independently because, that first song that gets on the radio, you might already have four albums out as opposed to you happen to land that one audition with that one producer and so you release that one single and that's all you have for like the next 8 months and you immediately get sent on tour and you're only able to play 20-minute sets because you have that one single and then two other songs you're still, you know, you're still working on.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you get that one song blows up but you already have three other albums you're able to anyway. I think that's cool. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite bands is the Oh Hellos, and I love listening to their first EP. One, because I think it's great. There's amazing songwriting, and I definitely hear, like, even at the beginning, like, that was their very first EP, just the harmonies that they were working out. And I just see, like, man, they took that and they just kept building on it and improving it and making it better. But there are little things where I'm like, you can hear some of the static on that mic. They couldn't quite get out. Or, like, they'll just tiny little, oh, you know, maybe, not even like, oh, that's wrong, but just, like, maybe you could have brought that down slightly in the mix or whatever. Oh, yeah. But then hearing, like, their most recent stuff and going, like, man, they just... I'm not going to say, like, everything has been better than the last. I mean, I like all of it. I love all of it. But it is really cool to see how they've progressed and changed and altered things. And yeah.
Have you seen them live?
Yeah, once.
Did you like them better after you saw them live? Or did you do you like them?
I already loved them a ton you when did? I saw okay. them live. Yeah, they
I
had,
just wondered if it
yeah.
was one of those bands that, like...
No, I had already been in love with them for, like, 2 years by the time I saw them live.
They might be one, like, I, there's some of their songs. There's the one, Climbing Tree, or The Trees.
Trees is a great song.
It's on an EP, right?
Yeah, it's on the EP, and then you also,
what's
like.
What's it called, that?
The EP? Just the Oh Hellos.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
But I don't, love it as much as you, but I think if I saw them live, I would get, like, maybe their, like, personality, like, a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely, because you didn't love Wild Child a whole bunch, and then we saw Wild Child, and now. That's like one of your favorite albums.
That
is
was
one
a
of
pretty
those.
Awesome. Poster on it on this table.
Yeah,
I was looking at that.
We got it signed by them.
Have
we
you heard
I
of
mean,
them?
There's a lot.
I have heard of them. I don't know if I know any of their songs, but
they're like they're a duo and stuff. I think they have four albums out. Three.
I think they have four. I think they are working on their fifth right now.
But yeah, we were able to see them. They're definitely like small, like acoustic. That's kind of their strength, I think. And we saw them on the rooftop. Right when we moved to Nashville, and it was like 60 people, maybe.
Yeah,
like
it was not that many people.
And they were like right there on stool, like just playing their ukulele in the night. Like, and so I think
yeah,
I just
were like at the very back of the crowd, and we were only maybe 30 feet from the from the stage. Yeah. So
what a good way to spend your first.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it was awesome.
That was a fun time for sure. And yeah, and then we were able to like go up and talk to them, and like they signed it. Yeah, and they were just like super cool. And it was also really cool because they had a few songs they wanted to share off the new album, but mostly it was like, "What do you guys want to hear now?" And people would just call out, "Play Sinking Ships." Play.
I wish I knew. I hadn't really hardly heard any of their stuff. So everyone's like, "Yeah." So I would love to see it again. What?
Oh, I was making a joke about Wonderwall.
Oh.
Did they play Wonderwall? Did anyone request it?
I don't think so.
If someone requested Wonderwall, would you play it?
I don't know if I know Wonderwall. You could probably play all of Wonderwall, and I probably wouldn't know what it was.
Who's that by?
Oasis. Hmm. It's like the song that everyone learns.
And yeah. I know like the joke, but yeah. Do you know Freebird? That's the other one.
I don't even know it. I know that it's like the guitar song if you've never heard it.
I think that one's more like they see like, oh, it's an acoustic band, like a folksier type thing. That we got that. We worked at the Renaissance Festival in Minnesota for a few years, and that was when people would call that all the time because it was like guitar and banjo and upright bass and so people would just say that. And for a minute we were like, wow, a lot of people are saying that. We should learn this song. We were like 16. We didn't know any of the jokes. And so we like listened to it. And first off, it's like 9 minutes long. And so we immediately go, okay, we're not going to learn this because it's 9 minutes long. We don't got time to stop and play. Anyway.
People are just doing it.
But then, it was just a joke. I heard on a podcast a couple of musicians talking about it, and one of them was like, maybe they just really want to hear Freebird. And the other guy was like, no, they don't. They're just doing it for the joke.
You've done kind of good comeback for it.
Yeah. Chris Thiele has there's one video of someone he's playing. You know Chris Thiele?
I think so.
From Punch Brothers and Nickel Creek.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good, like bluegrass mandolinist. I don't remember he might have been playing with Punch Brothers, or it might have been just him as part of a larger ensemble. But someone calls out, play Wonderwall, or play Freebird. And it was like, fine, it's a joke. And he goes up and he's like, you know the funny thing about playing Freebird is that you get 11 minutes in and everyone recognizes, I don't know any of the song. I don't actually know the song. I mean, basically what I said about Wonderwall. Anyway, it was funny. All right, we'll move on from that for a minute. So Lana Del Rey's early album, what was it you'd say it was?
Sirens.
And the name of her artist was
May Jailer.
May Jailer.
You can find it on YouTube. It's just they're very simple and very
cool.
Extremely acoustic. Like just her and a guitar, which that's kind of how that was like the blueprint for my album. Or like kind of when I try to write for something, I go on like a musical diet and I'm like, I need to only listen to these people so what I create will sound just like it. And that's like what I did with that because it was
interesting.
My favorite.
So whenever you had like a bad day where you got really discouraged, you'll be like, but look to me, Jailer. Look what she did. Look, look at what that album is.
Yes.
Yeah. I had that sometimes it can be discouraging when you're like, compare. I'm like, we listen through, like, here's one of my favorite songs ever that we're kind of going for, and listen through, I'm like, okay, and then listen to like the recording we're working on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yep, still sounds pretty bad. I don't know what's wrong. So did you have a favorite, would you say like your style is like your favorite genre? You're more like folksy singer songwriter type stuff, or do you have a, do you, are you going to write some like R&B in the next little bit?
No one's ready for my R&B mistake. Especially not me. But I really like, I don't know, it's so hard, anything with like a good melody. So basically, I do like singer songwriter stuff, but I like really, like interesting rock music. I think the running theme is that I like really dramatic music. So anything that like just makes you feel things that so I mean, yeah, that can be singer songwriter, or I like a lot of guitar and like electric, just like mood creating music. Cool. No, things that you can like sing longingly in your car,
right,
really really loud. That is, I think, favorite genre.
Yeah, it's not, that's like a good genre. The good longingly genre. Singing in your car genre.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, really you know those songs.
We do. Yeah. We got playlists full of those songs. Do you, so you're also, I mean, in your own music, you're pretty lyrical. You definitely put a lot of attention to that. Is that something, is that the first, you just said melody is something you really like. Is, do you have a typical, when you listen to music, melody is the first thing that jumps out, or lyrics the first thing to jump out, or preference either of those?
Probably, if it doesn't have a good melody, then I won't listen to it. But, so, melody is the first thing, and then if it has good lyrics, it's like an absolutely, yes, this is so good.
Okay.
Yeah, so just the unifying of those two elements. But melody, yes, because that's what draws people in. Like, have good lyrics, but if it doesn't sound great, people won't always listen to it.
So are there any songs that the melody's great and the song around it's great, but the lyrics aren't anything special? That you, are there anything that you actually dislike, but you like the song itself because the melody's grabs you enough?
I think so. Yeah. Or, I don't like writing really simple songs, but in terms of, I think like one of my favorite songs is Fade Into You by Mazzie Star.
I think I know that.
I cover that one sometimes. But it's super, super simple. Very, very wistful. I really like the melody and the vibe of it, and they're a really fun band, but lyrics are kind of just like, it's repetitive, which is not bad.
Sure.
And that's, a lot of people like that, but I like to change up lyrics, like maybe if it's like a chorus, I don't like to do the same thing again. So
yeah,
I'd say that's a good one.
Do you have a dream like collaboration, like someone you would love to collaborate with, like anyone? Could be anyone.
My mind is like thinking of the weirdest, like Weird Al, or like or like
I can see that working. I can see Harmon and Weird Al.
I would love, in my mind, probably Sufjan Stevens, because his work is like, I love, well, I, a lot, like some of his albums, there are some no skip albums in there that just work so well all the way through, but I think for my own personal benefit and enjoyment, him, but to like troll everyone, I think I would definitely do someone really weird.
I like it.
Yeah, I think Weird Al is a good one.
Yeah. It's cool when listening to your album, I don't want this to go straight to your head, but I had a similar reaction to listening to Sufjan Stevens in the way that you listen to it, and it's like a single artist under like the name, but you also listen to it and you know, like, man, they were involved in like every step of this as well. I think Sufjan Stevens is one of those guys where you listen to it and you're like, he didn't just write a song and hand it off to some producer.
Oh, yeah.
He was like there in the studio every single day until it was finished. And I definitely get that. I mean, even before like I met you, I was like, this is definitely, it sounds like one person doing this in the best. You know, like the, do you like For Emma, Forever Ago, Bon Iver?
Oh, that's my favorite album in the world.
Really?
Yes.
It's a good one.
Yes.
But you know that, like, you listen to it and you're like, I know exactly what's, it's one guy in a cabin just recording this album. Yeah.
You know, no one was like telling him to go. Like, now go,
Yeah,
he's just like, this is me. I gotta do this.
Well, that was originally a bunch of demos that he recorded. And he was like, yeah, this is the demos I'm working on. His friend was like, no, that's the album. Just release that. And he was like, no, it's just the demos. We're going to produce this. And he was like, no, you did it. That's the album. Release it. Oh, man. And yeah,
so glad
that's super cool. I know. That was kind of a similar story. Do you like The Head and the Heart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Their first album was kind of similar. They didn't really think like, oh, we're going to the studio to record an album. It was just kind of over the first like a year or so of them being a band, just kind of continually recording demos until they realized like, we basically have an album. I guess we'll release this. And that's like one of my favorite albums.
Yeah. I think there's something really special. For some reason, I'm drawn to music that sounds like it was written by someone who's not a musician. Because it's just so real and they're not trying hard.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this is what happened in my day. Mm-hmm. This is how I think to produce music.
That's
interesting. Like, yeah, they're just kind of like trying stuff out. And you can feel like the innocence or just the newness of it.
Yes.
That is
That's interesting because I feel like I can listen to popular things these days and like they'll have an album and it's very dynamic and like different songs, but I don't necessarily like relate or like grab onto it. But then I'll listen to albums like this is a random one, but Passenger's album, I forget what it's called.
The one with
the rosy sunset on it.
No, the one with the leaves on it. Sometimes it's something, sometimes it's nothing
at
all.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah, yeah. So I tend to skip songs like three quarters of the way. Like I'm just okay next like bridge half okay I'm good.
The bridge
I don't
starts and you're
next,
like
two
rock
choruses
on, I'm
after
good to
this.
Go.
Like
yeah.
So and anyway, I don't know if this is gonna make sense. This album by Passenger, every song sounds like pretty much the same, and it's like the same.
It's like every single song is an acoustic guitar and some strings.
Like, yeah, it's like the same thing, but I don't get like I can listen to it all the way through, and I think it's because you have like the same heart of it, like throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
which is just kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I was saying this to a friend the other day too. Like, I like musicians who try different things, and that's something that I want to do too. But there's also just so much comfort in someone where you know what you're getting every time.
Right.
It's like, I am in this mood. I'm going to put on all of their music.
Yeah.
And I can feel that way the whole time. Like, Beach House, one of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
They're super, like, I mean, some of their songs are my favorite ones ever, but they all have just the really similar, like, dreamy mood. And
It makes it hard to, like, you know, one day you're listening to that type of thing, and the next day you're listening to old jazz, and then this, and then this, and then you go to write, and it's like, there's too many things.
Yeah.
Like, cause
it's too much
to write. Or this day, I want to mix it like this. And the next day, it's like, no, we got to bring it down. Or no, we got to vamp it up. That can be hard to, like, decide what. Yeah. You almost have to, like, leave the inspiration and just be like, what does this song need to be?
Right.
Not what do I want it to sound like? Or
and I think I'm glad for this album that we haven't recorded yet. In a way, I'm, like, really impatient. I'm like, can we just get it out there?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm thinking, kind of like what you're saying, I'm really glad that we've been performing it so much because we really solidified like, the initial rearrangement we had for it is so different now. And I'm glad of that because I think we would have gotten we would have gotten really bored of it by now if we had to play it like that every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I'm trying to think of an example. There are bands who release the album version and then a couple years later have a brand new arrangement of the same song just because like, well, things have changed and they got bored with that arrangement. Like Avett Brothers Part For Me, you know that song?
Yeah.
On the album, it's just like two guitars and two voices. And it's just, I mean, Scott sings lead and then Seth sings harmony. But on the album, or when they do it live, Seth sings lead for most of it. And it's like the whole band and it's a very different vibe.
Okay.
And it's just
and
like really
like
cool.
Old, older album anyway.
Yeah, it's almost 10 years.
Right?
Wow, I remember when that came out. You ever have those moments when you've been following a band forever and you're like, oh yeah, that's still the new album. And then you look at the year and you're like, that's going to be 10 years old.
Cow,
The Carpenter's going to be 10 years old this fall. We need to do like a little tribute song or two this September when it's like the 10 year anniversary.
Let's do a medley.
Let's do a medley of the entire album.
Live stream.
Yes.
Entire album live
we will
stream.
Just play through. I was thinking the other day, you know how sometimes like Brandi Carlile, I think it's Brandi Carlile, did the Blue album. Was it the Blue album?
Yeah,
she did Joni Mitchell, one of Joni Mitchell's albums.
Huh.
As like a tribute. She and him just like yesterday released a tribute to Brian Wilson. You know, sometimes artists or bands will release like, this is one of my main inspirations and here's an album of a collection of songs. I was thinking if I ever did a tribute album, it would definitely be the Avett Brothers.
Yeah.
And
well, there's
and
also
I started,
so much to pull from.
Right. And I started going through like, I definitely want to do that song. There are certain songs where I'm like, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to, I can't try and replicate that.
Yes.
But there are some where it's like, I would change that. Anyway.
It's cool.
Yeah.
You know what, I think I haven't really toyed with live streams because they intimidate me, but I think would be a really fun idea. Tell me if this sounds fun, because I want to do a live stream where people send me songs that I've never heard before, and I like look up the chords and try to guess what it sounds like. And
I
like
love it.
Because sometimes that's how I write songs. It's like, I'll have a progression, try those words, and then I'm like, wait, I like this. Change the words, change some chords, because they just fit better, and then like, boom, new song. But
so you'd be like making the melody.
So
like
you have
to know the melody.
Any, like rhythm or anything, just like a chord, some words, and then try to make it a song.
I think that'd be really cool. But it's like a pre-existing thing, but it's like the Harmon edition.
And it's like if people are like, I don't know, like what a popular song is.
Yeah.
Do you know?
What's the new Lizzo song that everyone likes, apparently? But you could cover that one.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun, like, if you see someone who's never... It's like if you were to see someone who were, like, raised by wolves trying to play, like, Bohemian Rhapsody on guitar, I'd be like, this is a spectacle.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. That'd be a great, like, live show edition as well. Yeah. To be like, the next 5 minutes, I'll be taking...
I'm going to figure out how to play this song that I've never heard before.
Look it up.
I think that'd be fun.
Cool.
I think... Well, two things. I think that's a great idea for a live stream setting. I think if you can kind of build the reputation of, like you said, like the spectacle of, I haven't heard these songs and you're telling me to learn them. So here we go. Let's give it a shot. But then also I think if you tried it at live shows, I think that'd be really cool to then like have the audience like teach you, no, this is how the chorus goes or whatever. Aww. And then like you try and like learn that. Cause sometimes artists were like, hey, I want to have you guys sing along for this chorus, and they'll teach it to the audience. But like
have
switch
them
that,
experience.
Have them teach part of it to you. Anyway,
really cool. That would be scary.
I like that idea. That's a cool idea. We've thought of something kind of similar to that where we would try and do it more technically correct, where we do a live stream and then we'd like, if we hadn't heard it before, we'd listen through the song and then look at the chords and then, But I like the idea of not hearing it and just having like the chords and lyrics and figuring it out. Give that a shot. Okay. I would tune in. I'm there for it.
Sweet.
We'll think of some.
Think of some songs you definitely don't know. Yeah, we'll just give
you... Yeah, or any songs that I don't know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of songs that I don't know.
Well, we thought about that, too, with just, like, writing songs and then giving them... Or we thought of this, actually, in the forms of, like, we have different artist friends, like, painters and drawers and stuff.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, this is what the song is. Draw, like, a cover to what you think it would be. And then, like, get different people to do the same song.
Right.
And hear, like... what they heard and then what their album cover looks like.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think it could be the same for like music too. Is like,
And we also thought about like having, and sometimes there'll be like the remix EP of like this one song and there'll be like three covers on it. So it's cool. You know, hear the same song, but like three or four different versions. But we've kind of thought of, we write a song and then give it, I think it would be cool to like not have them hear anything. Kind of what you're saying is like, give them just the lyrics and the chords and hand it to, or maybe give them like a recording, like a demo of just like as bare as we can possibly get it, and give it to a bunch of different artists and see what they do with it. I really like that. I really like looking up, you know, here's the song that's 100 years old. Let's hear 60 different versions of it.
Yeah.
You have like an album of just different people's
on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe not necessarily. Anyway, I mean, that'd be fun.
But that could be a really cool experiment. Yeah. I like it.
We're big on collaboration over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've talked pretty extensively on the podcast about it.
Yes.
Cool. Before we go, can you give us, no pressure if you can't find the answer, but like top five albums?
Okay. I think I've got it off the top of my head.
Wow, she's ready.
For Emma Forever Ago, Bon Iver.
This is 1 to 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, that's actually...
I don't mean to throw off your training class.
There's always one I forget. That one, Bloom by Beach House.
Okay.
That's... Yeah, really good stuff. You have to listen to it at night. You can't listen to Beach House before 5 p.m. Trust me on that one.
It's like the opposite of coffee.
The vibe is incorrect. There's one I am forgetting. It's not mine. It's someone else's.
Good.
Maybe. I know the other ones. I'll say the other ones. Color Green by Sybil Bayer.
Okay.
A Beginner's Mind, Sufjan Stevens and Angelo D'Agostino.
I don't even know.
Best album of 2021, hands down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense why you wouldn't know it.
So good, yeah. That was my Doing Math album that I would put on every time. And it's very fallish. It's just like, it's the musical equivalent of like a warm blanket out of the dryer. Mm. It's like
I love that reaction. Sorry. We just like how yeah, you know those things where you're like especially like you're from the Midwest too, it's like, oh, fall, and they're just like, I know exactly all the things to associate with that fall. Anyway, sorry, keep going. Melissa, wait for that album.
Oh, I'll be so mad if I don't think of this. Oh, wait, maybe it is. Is it Sirens? It may be. Let's just say it's that one.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, good stuff.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
We got to check out at least two of those five. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard of some.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Good.
Oh. Isn't music great?
Music.
There's so much good music.
I don't agree.
I don't like music.
You don't? It's not great.
Well, when you said earlier about like when people are like, oh, you do music? Do you like that?
No.
It's like no one's going, why don't you pick a practical job? Like move to Nashville and be a musician. Like no one's forcing you into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there are rare occasions of like stage moms who are doing things, but the vast majority of the time, it's not like, I mean, it's fine until I can get my engineering degree, you know?
Yeah.
Well, most people that pursue a career usually like some part of it.
Right.
It's like, that's kind of a funny question to ask anyway.
Yeah. Like, it's not the same of like, oh, you're an assistant manager at Kroger. It's like, well, sure, you don't have to love that as a career, but it's just, anyway, it's kind of funny.
It's funny.
Cool. Well, Harmon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been so fun.
Where can people find you?
You can find me. I thought of my address. I'm not going to give it. I won't
give you that. That's answer. A good call. That's a good call.
You can find me there.
But I might move soon if I do let that out.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram under Harmon. Haley Harmon. I might be changing my Instagram handle, so don't put me on that. But some variation of my name.
There are many H's in your handle right now.
Yes. So there will be H's. Yeah. You can also find me on Spotify, on Apple Music, on SoundCloud, Amazon Prime Music. There's some stuff on YouTube, and I sell CDs verbally. It's kind of like a verbal interaction.
Gotcha.
They are there.
So you gotta like, you can buy a CD, but we have to be friends afterwards.
Yeah. But if you buy one, I'll send it to you and write a cute little note on it. So there's that incentive.
That's nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Fun. There. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Listen to Harmon, y'all. Listen to her album. It's a good time for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a great like drizzly morning album. Mm-hmm. That's what I would
say.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Like to figure out the vibe of like a visual.
Thank you. Rock on. Well, tune back in next week for a brand new episode of
Between Takes.
Do you want to do like what we've done with like Bedlam and Marge?
So her just say
just her Harmon. Say like Harmon.
Yeah, we'll do like a little like we do an individualized like.
Like a pre-recorded intro, yeah.
Okay. To music each time. So we'll just be saying something like, today we're here with, and then,
yeah.
So we'll just record your part and we can do ours later.
Right. So can you just say like, Harmon, or Haley Harmon, or Haley Michelle Harmon. Is your middle name Michelle?
It is not. It rhymes with Michelle.
Rochelle?
No, but still rhymes. I don't know. It's Tichelle? Not a common name. It might take a minute.
What rhymes with Michelle that's not Michelle?
What does it start with?
A J.
Jichelle? No. More Giselle.
No, it's got the L in it.
Like at the end? Like, oh, yeah, it ends in L?
L.
Janelle.
L. Not Janelle.
Jarnell.
Haley Jarnell.
Gerbel.
Gerbil.
Gerbil? Did you say gerbil?